Hallelujah. We bless you, Master. We bless you. We bless you. I keep hearing the Spirit saying, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Be ready for me. I'm coming. I'm coming, says the Lord. I'm coming. Don't be entangled in the affairs of this world. I'm coming. I know my children. My children know me. I'm coming. And I'm coming for those who come to me. I'm coming. I'm coming. Lord, we lift our hands and surrender to you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Great I am, our hope and our strength and our life, our King and our Master, our friend and our deliverer and our healer, our love. You, Master, we look to you, not to man, not to this world, but to you. We surrender and we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we've offended you. In any area where we've taken a bribe of the world and become blinded to the Spirit. Oh, Master, draw us to you today. Open our eyes to see you. Our ears to hear you. Our hearts to receive what you have. Grant us the strength to say yes to you and the power to say no to this world and turn our back to this world, that we may turn our face to your face today. Bring healing to your people, Father. Bring deliverance, bring reconciliation, bring salvation, and bring freedom as we welcome the Holy Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Come, Holy Spirit. Take your rightful place here as we bind every power of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, every principality, territorial spirits in this area. And we claim and decree in this area, Jesus. We claim this territory. We pull down those powers of darkness and send them to the pit in the name of Jesus. We decree over this park that everybody that steps on this property today will be saved. We claim their souls in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind the powers of darkness and the bondages and addictions and perversions and the lusts of this world in this area. And we cast those spirits to the pit and we say, let the people of God go in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we touch and agree. Come quickly, Master, as we speak peace, blessing, salvation, and stewardship, protection and favor to Jerusalem and Israel and your Jewish people, drawing them home unto you, Master. Bringing revival to the body of Christ. Melting walls of denominations and oneness in your Spirit. Binding the spirit of error that causes deception, division, and strife. And the Spirit of truth have His way. Have His way. And we promise, Father, to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise as we lift to you the name above all names, Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Come on, give God glory. Give somebody a hug. Tell them this is your day. Amen. Here, everybody go around and tell everybody this is your day. Now you can finish with, this is your day to what?
Die.
To die to yourself. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the Lamb. Another beautiful day in God's neighborhood. Y'all blessed? Blessed and highly flavored. You know, the Bible tells us about being the salt to this world. Would you grab your swords, please, and turn to the book of John in chapter 4? The book of John in chapter 4. In verse 3, please. And it says, when Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. And he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat there by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And his disciples had gone away in the city to buy food. Then the woman of the Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And a woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And a woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you're shacking up with right now, the one whom you are now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Why? Because he read her mail. See, it's amazing how the world thinks because people live together, they treat one another like husband and wife. But in the eyes of God, they're not married. But it's amazing how the world accepts it. "Oh, you guys have been shacking up for 16 years. Cool. Yeah, you must be common law." No, it ain't common to dad. It's illegal to dad. And it'll bring judgment. But see, the world perceives these things because the world is under the rule of Satan's kingdom. And Jesus was trying to bring this woman into another area. He was trying to bring her life. He said, "Here, I want you to drink. I got something for you, sister. And if you'll drink of this, your life will change." But he was saying something very important. He said, "Before you can even drink of this, you need to change this. You need to change this. This is what's holding you back from getting this drink." Is everybody okay? In other words, he's wanting her to come to what? Repentance. And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know." You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So the Father is looking for those. Now the word spirit means here breath. Breath. For they will worship in breath. For God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in truth and in spirit. Does everybody see this? This is so powerful in the area where sometimes we don't see the fullness of it. And I just want to give you another view of what's happening in this area. First of all, why didn't he talk to a man? He talked to a woman. And I want to go a little bit deeper than what's just happening, what we're reading about. Because there's something that the woman does. She gives birth. Does everybody get this? And in this, I see this totally as a symbolic of something where God was saying, "Listen, those who drink of my spirit are going to be able to give birth. But because of your disobedience, you can't birth the things I want you to birth. But if you become obedient, you'll birth those things that will pertain to my kingdom. Does everybody understand this? Is everybody okay? But he says, listen, man, you must come out of what you're doing. Yes, you spoke well. You told the truth. You don't have a husband, but the guy you're sleeping with right now isn't helping your walk with the Lord. And it's preventing you from birthing. In other words, we must be obedient to birth. Everybody got it? See, God is causing us right now. There are things, nothing comes into this realm without birthing it. So you and I must come to a place where we're willing to do whatever it takes. Because let me share something with you, very important. You will be judged. Those who are believers will be judged by their works. And he says that your works are going to be judged by fire. So anything of works that's not birth of God will burn. Has everybody got it? But the world will be judged by the law. But those who are right with God will be judged by their works. So what he was trying to say, man, you need to come out of this. Because judgment is coming. And you will be judged by what you're doing. And those who are believers and washed by the blood and walking right with God and serving Him, seeking Him with a true heart, will be judged by their works, but those who are not, who say they are believers because the word believe means to follow, will be judged by the law. And no human being can keep the law. No human being can keep the law. They don't have the Spirit. So there's something very important about this with the woman that gives what? Birth. Birth. Go to Psalm 50. You didn't think you were coming to hear some lovey-day Mother's Day thing, did you? You didn't come to get no soulless meshes, did you? Psalm 50, verse 1. Would you read it with me? The mighty one, God the Lord, has what? Spoken and called the earth. In other words, He's spoken. Remember, the Bible says that God is spirit, representation of breath. Who do you think the Holy Spirit is? He's the holy breath of God Almighty. And it says that God has spoken and called the earth. In other words, He spoke everything into existence. From the rising of the sun to its going down, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before Him. And it shall be very tempestuous all around Him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather my saints together to me, He says. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Who's the sacrifice? Jesus is the sacrifice of the covenant. Let the heavens declare His righteousness. For God Himself is judge. Remember, He spoke all things into existence. God speaking all things into existence, in other words, like He birthed all things to existence, didn't He? Because God Himself is a character of man and woman. Man and woman. He is father and mother. In other words, He's provider. He's comforter. He's everything to us. And it says that He's coming to judge, but He's coming to judge the obedience to birth His will on earth. He's already got it. He's coming to judge the what? To the obedience of the birth of His will on the earth. Has everybody got it? Let's go to Genesis 2. Obedience to birth. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the what? Breath of life. And man became a what? A living being. He breathed in him. He breathed. He took Adam. He made pulled him out of the dust and breathed life. He breathed eternal life in him. Adam was made as an eternal being. Now something happened, of course. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 21. And it says, then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his what? His ribs, and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Now listen, Adam was made in the image and likeness of God, male and female. So everybody got it. And the attributes and characteristics of it, not in physical form. So everybody got it. Okay, in other words, Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. God being male, female in this arena. And the characteristics of it. So God put Adam asleep. And out of his rib he formed Eve, female. Now you also got to understand that this is something that was to come, because the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. Because when Jesus was on the cross, what happened to him? He was pierced in the side, right? And out of that side, he birthed the church. The woman, the bride. So even during what happened to Adam, because Adam was the first to come, Jesus was the second Adam to come, right? Adam, the first Adam was a man made of dust. The second Adam was the Lord to bring a life-giving spirit to mankind. So in this, Jesus was the same in the area of Adam was birthed out of God. And then out of Adam came woman out of his rib. And out of the same thing, Jesus was birthed from God. And out of his side came the bride of Christ. Let's go a little further. In verse 23. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called what? Woman. That was just kind of, you know, when I got born again and saved and I looked at this word woman, I thought, my God, it's a man with a womb. But in true reality, it is. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how people are here and trying to have surgery. Hello. And become a man or a woman and through physical arena. And they are tormented for the rest of their life. But in this, I thought, and it's the area where, because God created a man, and I'm not talking about gender, you know, I'm talking about in character, in the area of male and a female. And I thought, whoa, because out of the male came a female, a man with a womb. And I thought, whoa, this is awesome. You know, I mean, you know, when you start seeing these new things when you're born again, it's like, whoa. You know, you start seeing, that means like you're really neat, you know, flowers, birds, and ants, you know, and everybody speaks to you, you know, no matter what it is. Praise God. And 24. Therefore, a man shall what? Leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, not his roommate. He shall be joined to his wife. That means marriage. Glory. And they shall become what? One flesh. In the area where they will complement each other in God's image and likeness. And they were both naked, and man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now go to, and this is just so powerful. Now, in this, Adam being the character, and Eve being the expression of motherhood, you know. So both of them together were going to complement the image and likeness of God. Let's go a little further. Now, because of this, you got to remember that Adam and Eve now had the breath of God. They were eternal beings, weren't they? And because they were eternal beings, they had eternal life. They were carrying the breath of God. Was sustaining them. The life of the was not the blood in the flesh. The life of the flesh was now in the spirit, not in the blood yet. Let's go to Genesis 3 and verse 9. Now we know that something happened and that they fell. In verse 9, and it says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you at, man? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself, and the Lord said to him, who told you that? That you were naked. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And the man said, yep. And of course, he had to blame the woman. He said, the woman you gave me, man. The woman you gave me. She gave me the tree, and I ate it. I didn't know. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, now you got to remember, he went to the serpent to bring judgment. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. In other words, that was what would be coming. It's talking about Jesus, the seed of God coming into the world. And you shall bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In other words, to give birth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles, and it shall be forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of the living. Now, I want you to understand something. There's a difference between the living and the eternal. Because you and I are in this realm. We are living in this realm, but there's a difference between eternal. But when you and I are born again, we are born in the eternal realm. And that's what separates us, because when you truly are born again, you are no longer in survival mode, you're in surrender mode. Because everybody born in this realm and living is trying to maintain life. But those who are born again have given their life. So you're no longer among the living, but you're no longer concerned with the living. You are concerned with your eternal life. So everybody got it. And so he said, now, because I will change her name. I'll call her Eve, because she will be the mother of the what? The living. In other words, from this day forth, she will birth those offsprings into this living realm, but not into an eternal realm. Is everybody okay? Now, the serpent deceived Eve because she is the one who gives birth. Why? The serpent wanted to have his own offsprings. So he deceived Eve. So everybody got it? All right. Now, Eve's first birth, I'm talking about spiritual birth, was Adam. Why? Because she deceived Adam. Has everybody got it? And Adam became an offspring of darkness. In other words, self was birth. So when the serpent deceived Eve, self was birth, and then Eve deceived Adam and self was birthed. And that from that point on, everything that is born into this realm was born in darkness. It must be born again to light. And of course, God didn't want them to continue to be in that condition and live forever, so he had to remove the tree of life. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And so the price that Jesus paid for me and you, as we come to Christ and we accept him and we follow him, something begins to change. And that's why Jesus commanded everybody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that's a birthing that happens. The Spirit comes to birth you. So many times people accept Jesus and never get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the devil comes and steals that seed. They can't fulfill what God really wants to do in their lives in the fullness. That's why he commanded us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In verse 1, would you read it with me? And you, he what? He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the curse of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, there's something that changed. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, the prince of power of air has taken over. In other words, the eternal breath, are you listening? The eternal breath is no longer in man. like it was in Adam and Eve. Hello. Now you and I, that's why when you bite an apple, it turns brown. Amen? Because the prince of power of air is here now. That's why everything that's born in this realm dies. It's going to die, isn't it? And the only way out of this realm is by receiving the breath of life. That's the Spirit of Christ through Christ Jesus and the price that He paid. In verse 3, it says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us what? Alive. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Now, you remember one of the areas when we were talking about faith, and faith is the area of unseen obedience to trust God in everything. It's an area where you are connected to the other side, to trust God in everything. You are obedient to trust Him. Faith is the unseen obedience to trust God in everything. Is everybody okay? In verse 9, let's start read verse 8 again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That we should what? That we should walk in them. So you and I have been saved by faith, the obedience to trust. We are His workmanship. We are created in Christ as His bride, and we are the bride, and He is our husband. Has everybody got it? We are the bride, and He is the husband. So in this, because He is the husband and we are the bride, we should be producing offsprings. See, that's where we must come to the place of obedience to birth. Because one of the things that the devil does not want to do, go to Revelation 12. The devil doesn't want you to birth. You know, remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Nicodemus believed Jesus, but there was something that Nicodemus turned around and said, man, you need to be born again. Nicodemus was like, what do you mean? I got to go back to my mother's womb. I'm a big boy now. How that's impossible. And he's saying, no, you got to be born again by the Spirit. In other words, the breath of God. Because the prince of power of air is ruling this earth. You must be born again now by another breath. The holy breath of God. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 1. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give what? Birth. And again, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to what? Devour her child as soon as it was born. See, so the devil wants to make sure he's going to try to do everything he can to prevent you from birthing the things for the kingdom of God. He's going to try to defile you. He's going to try to keep you in sin. He's going to try to do everything he can to prevent you from birthing the things of God. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, we are to birth these offsprings, Christ's offsprings, by His Spirit, His truth, and obedience. Because we must be obedient to birth. But we birth it by His Spirit and truth. And in Luke chapter 1, is everybody there? In verse 26. I think it's Luke 1. Okay, Luke 2, 26. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Luke. No. Let's go back to chapter 1, okay? Hey, some things just don't change, what can I tell you? Verse 26. Now the sixth month, an angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come, an angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled in his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor in the sight of God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit, the holy breath of God, will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, you have to understand, Mary was kind of shocked, you know. I mean, this was not a common thing that would happen. I mean, the angel shows up to Mary and says, "Listen, you're going to have a child, and he's going to be God." Huh? I mean, that wasn't an easy thing for the carnal mind to accept. And I'm sure she struggled with that. But the angel said, "Listen, the holy breath of God will come upon you and will plant the seed. You will conceive and you'll birth this child." But there's something that Mary did. She said, "Let it be done according to your word." In other words, "I will obey to birth." I will what? Obey to birth. And in this, now, there's something else that's very powerful here, because Mary, of course, we know would be the first and the only to birth the Son of God. But she was actually the second to birth something from the Spirit in this arena, because we know that her relative, Elizabeth, who was going to birth first, wasn't 6 months apart, because John was going to be the forerunner, the armor bearer of the Lord, the preparer, the one who was going to make a way for the Lord. He was going to come in the spirit of Elijah. So here, Elijah was going to be come forth in John as a forerunner of the Lord. Because two means witness, doesn't it? That's why when Jesus said, he said, "I am the witness." John was bearing the witness of the light, and Jesus was the light. But he was also the witness of the Father, wasn't he? That's why he said, "If you see me, you see the Father." Why? Because the Father had to come. Because the Father is the one that plants the seed to bring conception to what? Birth. Does everybody get it? So, you know, you don't even know it, but you're all walking around here pregnant. Everybody who's walking right with God is carrying the seed of God, and God is trying to birth. Hello. He's trying to birth his kingdom, or something pertaining to his kingdom, through you. Through you. So your conduct, what you're doing, whether you're obedient to God or whatever, you are obedient to birth. If you are obedient, you are birthing the things of God's kingdom. Are you listening? No matter where you go, you're planting the seed. It's causing conception. As long as that person is walking right. So you may be planting the seed somewhere and hope that it will be conceived. As long as that person walks right, it will be conceived. But the devil comes to steal the seed, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. Go to John 14. See, but the world is celebrating Mother's Day, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you're all mothers. Hello? You're all carrying the seed of God. You're ready to give birth. So don't let the devil steal it. How does he steal it? By causing you to come under the rule of Satan. He's waiting. He's trying to prevent you. So if you're in this park today and you're not right with God, get right. Why? Because you'll be judged soon. Well, I just believe I can do what I want. Well, you're an idiot. What do you mean I'm an idiot? Yeah, because you're deceived. And anybody that's deceived by a devil, by the powers of darkness, is blinded to the things of the Spirit. And God is saying, get right, get right. He's not interested in your religion. He's not interested in your beliefs. He's interested in your obedience to follow Him to birth the things of the Spirit, because things are coming to an end soon. He said, give me your life, and I'll give you a life. Just like that woman, that Samaritan woman, that same drink that He has had for her is for me and you on a daily basis. On a daily basis. See, even though He used a woman because she would be given birth, but see, now the image and likeness of Christ is in me and you again. Why? Because we're born again. So you're a mommy and a daddy. But in the physical realm, we see, you know, there's difference. Hallelujah. Some, there's not, but for the majority of us, there is, you know. Some people still don't know who they are because of the demons in them. But praise God. But for you and I who want to submit to God and obey to birth, staying in obedience to birth the things of the kingdom of God, those things are what we'll be judged on and be rewarded on. We'll be rewarded on. The judgment that we get for our works is to determine what kind of rewards you get. You know, you might win a Winnebago or... No. I'm like... You get a vacation in heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. In John 14, verse 1, it says what? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except for through me. Now, this is very powerful because the way is a representation also. We notice the three chambers of the tabernacle. But in this, we've been talking about the way is associated with discipline. The truth is associated with obedience. The way is associated with discipline. The truth is associated with what? Obedience. And the life is associated with authority to birth. Authority to what? Birth. Why? You've been granted authority to birth those things that are not as though they are, calling those things in. So God is using you. Now He's using the body of Christ, the woman, the bride. The bride of Christ is pregnant and constantly birthing offsprings. So every one of you must do his part as a member of the body of Christ to continue to birth those things in the Spirit. Where you go, your conduct, what you do, who you submit to. Because what you submit to, you become a slave to. So, you know, your witness, everything that's going on in your life right now, what you're doing behind closed doors, you're either birthing the things of the devil or you're birthing the things of God. One or the other. But you're birthing darkness or you're birthing light. Every human being is birthing something. And every human being will be judged by what they birth. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Romans 8. In verse 18, would you all read this with me together? For I what? Consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. Oh, did you hear that? Your suffering. You know, your suffering is to constantly fight the world off. constantly fighting the world off, whatever you're going through. Now, the world has sickness, disease, fears. It means that you're going to endure and go through it because you know what the end result is going to be. You're eternal. No matter what happens, you're eternal. And you don't belong here anyway. That's why we got to sleep, right? We got to regenerate, or else we'd be awake all the time. I can't wait till I don't have to go to sleep. I hate sleeping. I want to, you know, there's something more I can do for the Lord. You know? But I got to sleep because my body needs regeneration. Because if I don't let regeneration regenerate, it's going to perish quickly, and I will not fulfill the will of God in the time that He has for me. Many believers die before their time. They eat wrong, don't get rest, and touch unclean things. Believe me, I've seen believers die before their time. Powerful men and women of God, because they ate terrible. They thought if they could just bless the food. You can't cast out calories. Hello? And God tells us the things, what's evil? Just because it's not sin to eat anything, it's still sin to kill yourself, isn't it? Hello? So you're not going to live on Baby Ruth bars every morning? Or Mountain Dew? Or Diet Pepsi? Hello? People think, you know why the word, why it says Diet Pepsi? You know there's a word in there called D-I-E. So don't think that you're not getting all the calories. You're still dying by drinking it. Hallelujah. You think you're going to live longer by drinking Diet Pepsi? No way. I'm sorry. You've been lied to again. Diet Pepsi will not allow you to live longer. It will shorten your life. Let's read 18 again, okay? Yeah, I'm on a diet. That's nice. You on a diet, all right. In verse 18, for I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of hope, because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, what? Groans and what? Labors with what? Birth pangs. Together until now. In other words, you are groaning within you. The creation is groaning to be delivered from corruption. And you're groaning to birth the kingdom of God more and more than anything that pertains to God's kingdom. Verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? See, one of our jobs is to make the unseen to become seen in our life. We're to expose, we're to make everything that's unseen to become seen. So there'll be those who don't like this message because they're convicted. Good. I pray that you'll turn away from darkness and come to the light and start birthing the things of God instead of the things of the devil. This is a good day to turn things around. Hey, listen. The world celebrates Mother's Day and Father's Day, right? Well, every day ought to be Mother's Day and Father's Day for me and you. Because we give glory to the Father. We give glory to the King of Glory. And we are the bride that is giving birth to His kingdom. Oh, hallelujah, how wonderful it is. Let's go a little further here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? You still love me? Good. You gotta. You got no choice. You might not like me, but you gotta love me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, that ought to give you a good sign where you're at. If you're still out serving the devil, something ain't right. He was in Christ. In Christ. Christ meaning the anointing. The anointing. How does the anointing come? By the Holy Spirit. So now we have the anointing of Christ. The Spirit of Christ. The breath of God Almighty that dwells within me and you. That brings us and allows us into the eternal realm. No longer under the authority of the prince of power of darkness. The prince of power of air. But now we are under the authority of the prince. The prince of peace. Let's go a little further. I love this. Now, in verse 18. Now all what? All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus, and having given us a ministry of reconciliation. Well, how is somebody going to get reconciled? You got to birth it. What happens to them? They get born again. So it's your job to plant the seed, to be the example, to pray those things in. Why? So that that individual can be reconciled to God Almighty. Verse 18. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were what? Pleading what? As God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be what? Reconciled to God. That's what this is about today. Get reconciled. Get born again. Get right. And begin to birth the things of Christ instead of the things of the devil. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to close at one scripture, John 3. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Obedience to what? Birth. Surrender all. Give it up. You know, we started this walk in letting go and letting God. Stay there. Quit fighting for your life and fight for the life of Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it, please? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Wow. And that's the message. The gospel is the message of truth. Again, it's our responsibility to be obedient to birth. Obedient to birth. But it all starts in where your walk is and what you're doing. You're either going to birth the things of the devil or birth the things of God. You are going to be an example of above or an example of beneath. It's our choice. God will never force you to do these things, will he? But he stretches out his hand and he says, Follow me. Learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So please, I encourage you, get reconciled today. It's important. You know what you're doing. You know whether you're right. God can see it all. Just because you turn the lights off doesn't mean he can't see. Just because you shut the door doesn't mean he can't see. Just because you don't go to church doesn't mean he can't see. And the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. We are to assemble. But the devil loves to keep people away from assembling so he can eat them up. Because there's a special blessing when we come together, isn't there? There's a special anointing. And sometimes there's a special conviction. Because God's going to expose our dirty laundry. And he's going to say, get it cleaned up, turn it in. So we can get, you know, robes of righteousness. But we can't do it in our own strength. We must do it in his strength. That's all he's asking us to do is cooperate. Cooperate, and he'll do the rest. Just cooperate. Just trust all the way. Trust all the way. Because you're going to birth one thing or the other. And we'll be judged on what we birth. Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you, Master. We thank you. And we ask that you prepare our hearts for communion, Lord. We repent for any area and anything we've done that's offended you, Lord. And any area that we birth unrighteousness. We birth things for darkness. We weren't an example. Lord, we're playing religion. We're playing games. In any area, Lord, we ask for the washing of the blood. And we ask, please, Lord, bring conviction, bring reconciliation, and establish your kingdom in us and through us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah.